you to take your Bibles this morning, if you have them, and you can turn with us to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49 this morning. And Wednesday night, I had mentioned that I wasn't exactly sure where we were going this morning. The Lord had led several passages on my heart, and this is the one that He just would not let me get away from. And I think that it will be a help to us this morning. I think that it will be an encouragement to us this morning. And here in Isaiah chapter 49, we find that this particular chapter is a magnificent sermon. It's a magnificent message by Jehovah God for all people everywhere to not only hear, but also to heed how He chose the nation of Israel as His chosen people. But not only how He chose the nation of Israel, but how He would one day deliver the nation of Israel. And beyond that, we find throughout this chapter and even into chapter number 50 that God would promise to judge the oppressors of His people, those who sought to cause the nation of Israel harm and oppression, that He would deal with them as well. Looking this morning at chapter 49 and in the chapter 50, the two chapters could be summarized in really five short points. In chapter 49, you have the shadow of God's hand. It kind of reminds me of Psalm 23, where the Bible tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And the truth that no matter where we walk, that God is always there with us as His people. And that's there in chapter 49, verses 1 through 12. And then verses 13 through 23, you have the people of God singing of God's comfort and singing of God's mercy. And then in verses 24 down through verse number 26, the end of the chapter, you have the mighty one of Jacob. And in verses 7 through 12, you have the day of salvation there in chapter 49. And then in chapter 50, we find the truth that God's hand is not shortened. And as we look this morning at chapter 49 and even into chapter 50 just a little bit, we find that the greater truth is that God not only makes promises, not only does He make covenant, but someday God is going to fulfill that covenant. God is going to keep those promises to Israel. And we see that one day He's going to exalt them as a nation in the day of the Lord. But now, for our purposes this morning, I want to draw your attention there to Isaiah chapter 49. And look there with me, if you would, at verses 13 and 14. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 13 and 14. And again, we'll cover more than just these two verses this morning, but for sake of our text, these are the two verses that we're going to focus on the most this morning. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 13, the Bible says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people, and will have mercy upon His afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach you a very simple thought, and that is discouragement, love, and hope. Discouragement, love, and hope. You notice here, especially in verse 14, the people of God, they find themselves, at least how they're perceiving the situation, they're perceiving themselves to be forsaken. They're perceiving themselves to be in a hopeless situation. And maybe you're here this morning and you can sympathize with the people of God here in Isaiah chapter 49. Maybe there's been a time in your life where you, like the people of God here in Isaiah 49, that you have felt forsaken. You have felt as if you were in a hopeless situation. And we see here the people of God as they contemplate their future deliverance. The people of the captivity, those left in the desolate inheritances, we find here that they are not happy. And instead of being a singing people, instead of being a happy people, as God commands them in verse 13, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. And so instead here of being a singing people, instead of being a happy people, we find that they are a sad people. We find that they are a complaining people, and their complaint before the Lord is, you've forsaken us. You have forgotten us. Even though just the verse before, God through Isaiah tells them, the Lord will comfort you. The Lord will have mercy upon you. Again, how relatable is that this morning? Because we know that as God's people, He will take care of us. He will comfort us. He will have mercy on us. He will be there for us in both the mountains and valleys of life. But how often do we fall into the trap of feeling as if God has forsaken us? As if God does not have mercy on us. As if God does not have grace that He extends toward us, and love and mercy and all of the rest. And so here we find that the Lord, He sees their complaint, and the Lord assures them of His love in three very unique and distinct ways. The very first way that He assures them of His love is of that of a compassionate mother. Is that of a compassionate mother. Notice there, if you would, chapter 49 and verse number 15. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse number 15. The Bible says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with an ornament, and blind them on thee as a bride doeth. For thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, that they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too strait for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro, And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, who had thy been? Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. And so here we see that the Bible, we know the Bible, as we think about God the Father, it emphasizes just that. It emphasizes the fatherhood of God. But as we think about God the Father this morning, we realize that there is also a motherhood side to God. And there's also a motherhood side to God's nature, and we must not forget that. And here in especially verses 15 and 16, we find that God is compassionate. We find that God comforts us as a mother comforts her children. Flip over, if you would, Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. And notice there, if you would, verse number 13. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13. The Bible says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I, that's God speaking, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And so here's the picture that Isaiah is laying out for us here in Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah is picturing Israel as the nursing child. That they are totally dependent, they are totally reliant on the Lord. By the way, that's not a bad place to be. Totally dependent on God, totally reliant upon the Lord. The Bible even tells us, lean not on unto thine own understanding. There's not a better place to be. There's not a safer place to be than depending on God. Because when the world lets you down, when friends let you down, when family members let you down, there is one who will never let you down. And that's God. God will never let us down. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Because sometimes, how many of us have ever had somebody make a promise to us, right? How many of us have ever had someone break a promise to us? It happens all the time. But God, when He makes a promise, when He makes a covenant, He keeps that promise. He keeps that covenant. He does exactly what He says He's going to do. And so we see here Israel, they're a picture of this nursing child, totally dependent upon the Lord. And the Lord says He's never going to forget them. He's never going to forsake them. And the high priest, he would bear the names of the tribes of Israel on his shoulder and over his heart. Look, if you would, Exodus chapter 28. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. And look there, if you would, beginning at verse number 6. Exodus chapter 28, verse number 6. The Bible says, and they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet, and fine twined linen, and with cunning work. It shall have the two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones, and notice what this says, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel. I want you to keep that verse in mind, verse number 9. Engrave on them the names of the children of Israel. Look back, Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49 and verse number 16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. That word graven, that word engraved, basically has the idea to cut into. In other words, it signifies its permanence. There is no doing away with it. There is no getting away from it. It is there and it is permanent. And what God is teaching is that God can never forget Zion. God can never forget Zion's children. And this morning, if you are a child of God, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have that same promise that He will never forget you. As much as you may think He forgets you, He will never forget you. He will never leave you or forsake you. But here, Zion. Zion, they're having what we all have from time to time. They're having a pity party. They're having a woe is me moment. And Zion seems like, at least to themselves, that they are a forsaken and barren mother. But God is trying to show them, God is trying to teach them that no, you are not forsaken. No, you are not forgotten. No, you are not barren. But instead, you will be blessed. You will be blessed of me. You will be blessed of God, so that there will be no room for her children. They will be like beautiful bridal ornament, not decrepit refugees from some type of a captivity. And once again, Isaiah, the prophet who writes this book, he's looking ahead to the end of the age when the Gentiles, they will honor Jehovah God. And they will honor Israel and the kings and queens. They're going to be babysitters for Israel's children. And so God, He shows them, no, Israel, Zion, I love you just like a compassionate mother. You are engraven on my hands. You are there permanent. I can never forget you. I can never forsake you. And if you're a child of God this morning, you have that same assurance that God never forgets you. God never forsakes you. But He shows His love not only as a compassionate mother, but secondly this morning, as a courageous warrior. As a courageous warrior. Notice there, if you would, verses Isaiah chapter 49, verses 24 through 26. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 24 through 46. 24 through 26, excuse me. The Bible says, "Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered, and I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am the Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." So we see this morning, not only does God prove His love by doing so as a compassionate mother, He does so as a courageous warrior. You see, the Babylonians, they were very fierce warriors. They were very fierce fighters. But the Lord, as we see here, He tells us that He would snatch Israel from their clutches. He would snatch Israel from their grasps. And it would be in His compassion that He would set the captives free. And He would see to it that the Babylonians would never afflict them again, that they would never oppress them again. The very fact this morning that God permitted Babylon to conquer His people That didn't mean that God was weak or unconcerned. And we have to realize the same thing with us. Just because this morning God sometimes lets us go through trials and tribulations and heartaches and sorrows, that does not mean this morning we serve a God who is weak, or we serve a God who is unconcerned, or we serve a God who does not care for us. But when the right time comes, He will set His people free. Notice what verse 23 says. And the king shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And notice what it says. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. You know what that teaches us this morning? God's timing is always perfect. You know, sometimes, you know, when Manny and I got married, or before we got married, actually, Mandy was always the early one. Always the early one. Church started at 10 o'clock. She'd get there at 9:30 or a little bit before. I'm the complete opposite. I get to a place 10 minutes before, 5 minutes before. As long as I'm there before the start time, I'm good. And that's caused us some grief in our marriage. That's caused us some, when she's getting ready for work in the morning. I'm getting ready too. Well, she has to be in at a set time. I can scroll over here whenever I want to. You know, I can get here whenever I want to. I can go make my visits whenever I want to. And I forget that sometimes. And so I'm up in the bathroom, you know, I'm lollygagging, I'm taking my sweet old time, and she's messaging me on the phone. Hurry up, hubby. Hurry up, hubby. It's like, come on now, let's get moving. And so, sure enough, you know, I get her to work on time, but I have to remember. I have to get her to where she has to go. But, and there's been times we, you know, she says, well, what time do we have to be there? And I say, well, we have to be here at that time. And she says, okay, we have to leave out at this time. And I said, sweetie, it's a 5-minute drive. We don't have to be there 20 minutes early. And so it's caused us some grief. But where we struggle with time, where we struggle with either being late or early or on time or whatever the case may be, God is never early. God is never late. He's always right on time. He's always where He's supposed to be when He's supposed to be. And we can take comfort in that this morning, that He is right on time. And that's what He's trying to teach us here. And we see here that as a courageous warrior, He shows His love. And then thirdly and finally this morning, we see He shows His love as a constant lover. He shows His love as a constant lover. Notice there, if you would, Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 1 through 3. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, there was none to answer. Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. Here we have the image of Israel as the wife of Jehovah. You see, when we think about Israel, we realize this morning Israel was married to Jehovah God. And when they accepted, if you go back and you read Exodus chapter 19 and Exodus chapter 20, you find that the people of Israel, they made a covenant with God at Mount Sinai. And it was at Mount Sinai that they entered into this marriage relationship with the Lord. But time and time again, we find Israel, they violated this marriage covenant. They violated this sanctity of marriage by, for lack of a better term, playing the harlot, by worshiping false idols, by serving false gods and rebelling against God and so on and so forth. But yet, despite all that, God did not forsake his people, even though they had been unfaithful to him. And again, we have this encouragement this morning, even when we are sometimes unfaithful to him, he is still faithful to us. You know, sometimes we stop and think, and sometimes it feels like God is distant or God is far away. Well, let me just encourage you this morning, if it feels like God is far or God is distant, I can guarantee you this morning, it's not God who moved. It's you who moved. It's me who moved. Because God is ever there. God is ever faithful. God is ever present. And that's one of the pictures that we find here. But then the second picture that we find in this paragraph is that of a poor family selling their children into servitude. And what God is trying to show us is that God did not sell his people by their sins. It was they who sold themselves. You see, God had called to them many times. God had reached out to them many times for them to return, for them to come back. And the Bible teaches that they tried to, that God tried to turn them back from their wicked ways, but they refused to listen. And by the way, God is still trying to do the same today with a wicked and perverse nation. He's trying to turn and call people back to himself. And instead of returning to God, they are refusing his call. They are not heeding his call. Refusing to listen. And so you see this morning, Judah did not go into exile because of God's weakness. They went into exile because of their own sinfulness. And you see this morning, you don't have to falter. You don't have to fail. And if you do, it's not going to be God's fault or the preacher's fault or the church's fault. If you fall into sin, it's your own fault. And God is there. He's busy calling you back to himself. And yet here we have a people who they're saying they're forgotten. They're saying they're forsaken. But how could they say that? How could they say that they're forgotten or they're forsaken when the Lord is presenting himself as that compassionate mother? He's presenting himself as that courageous warrior. He's presenting himself as that constant lover. Look, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. Because something we have to learn about God that is that even when we're unfaithful, he is still faithful to his word. He is still faithful to his promise. He is still faithful to his covenant. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And notice there, if you would, verses 11 through 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. The Bible says it is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. What a truth that is this morning, that when we are not faithful, He's still faithful. He's still there. He's still keeping His Word. But not only is He faithful to His Word, but He's faithful to chasten us when we rebel. And so, if we step out of line, and if we're truly His child, then we have a promise, we have an assurance from the Word of God that He will chasten us. Look, if you would, there, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and notice there if you would, verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 6. The Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." And so this morning, if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be a child of God, and you step out of line, and you receive no chastisement, there's a problem. There's something wrong. The Bible compares it here to a parent with their child. If the child steps out of line, the parent steps in to correct the child. If you're God's child, He will chasten you. He will, as my pastor used to say, he'll take the board of education to the seat of learning. And He will get you back in line. But not only is He faithful to His Word, faithful to chastise us, but He's also faithful to forgive. Faithful to forgive. Final portion of Scripture tonight, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1. And notice verse number 9, and we'll read down through chapter 2. First John chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us." Chapter 2, verse 1. "My little children, these things write I unto you." Notice what it says. "That ye sin not." And I love this part. "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." That word advocate means that He is our mediator. He is our lawyer. And listen, when it comes to having a defense lawyer, we have the best one possible in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is no sin, there is no crime, there is nothing that we do or have done that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot forgive. But then notice verse number 2, chapter 2, verse 2. "And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. I'm thankful this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ, He didn't just come to save us, but He came to save the entire world. He came to save whosoever will believe. And this morning you may feel sometimes that you've been forgotten and forsaken by God. But I'm here to tell you this morning with the promise of the Word of God that if you are His child, He's not forsaken you. He's not forgotten you. And He'll be faithful to His Word. He'll be faithful to chastise. And this morning, if you're not yet His child and you ask for forgiveness, He'll be faithful to forgive you of those sins. And here in Isaiah 49, we have the servant's message to the Gentiles. For the Gentiles, for the people of God, the people of Israel, it was a woe is me. It was a pity party. But the message in the midst of discouragement was one of hope. It was one of blessing. It was one of encouragement. That God, He would deal with His people so that they in turn could bring God's blessings to others. And so this morning, when you feel forgotten and forsaken, just remember that you have a God that is faithful and He'll be there with you every step of the way. And then once you know that, you can take that truth and you can turn it around and be a blessing, an encouragement, a help to others who they themselves might feel forgotten and forsaken and left behind. And help them to remember that the same God that hasn't forgotten Israel, hasn't forgotten Gentiles, hasn't forgotten you, forsaken you, that He won't forget them. He won't forsake them. And He'll be faithful to them as well. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together to our feet.